Republican Congressman Steve Daines' vote to end the government shutdown gets mixed reactions. Good evening, I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Madeline Beck. And Capitol reporter Dan Boyce has our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
We'll also tell you about an upcoming earthquake drill and why it's important. And in our feature interview, news director Sally Mock talks with Emmy-winning actor Keith David about his involvement in the Montana-based group Wood for Haiti. The end of the federal government shutdown this week exposes a growing rift in the Republican Party, a rift between moderates and Tea Party Republicans. Passage of President Obama's Affordable Care Act boosted the Tea Party movement 3 years ago, and the momentum put the GOP back in charge of the House of Representatives. Republicans have since tried multiple tactics to delay or defund Obamacare, culminating in the government shutdown early this month. Capitol reporter Dan Boyce says Tea Partiers have vowed to keep trying to dismantle the health care law, and some groups are attacking Republican Congressman Steve Daines for his vote to end the shutdown.
Within hours of the vote to end the 16-day government shutdown, the TeaParty.net tweeted a link to the votes of the 27 Republican senators and 87 Republican House members who voted for that legislation. The group calls those lawmakers the 2014 Rhino hunting list, rhino meaning Republican in name only. That list includes Montana's Congressman Steve Daines. A Virginia-based conservative group called Americans for Limited Government says Daines, quote, was nowhere to be found when it finally mattered in the effort to end Obamacare. Daines has been a strong supporter of efforts to delay or defund Obamacare, but says Montanans wanted the government opened back up, and that's why he voted to end the shutdown. Representatives from Montana Tea Party groups were not able to be reached for comment today. Former State Senator Joe Balliet now works as the state director for Americans for Prosperity, a conservative group dedicated to limited government, free enterprise, and fewer regulations. He says there are some areas where his organization overlaps with Tea Party ideology, but he says the government shutdown is not one of them.
We have argued all along, Obamacare needs to be delayed, if not totally scrapped, but the budget fight was not the place to try to do it. We did not see any reasonable expectation of success.
Balliet says his group will not be scoring the vote to reopen the government in their evaluation of Montana's congressional delegation. But he says from his group's perspective, the votes from Democratic Senators Max Baucus and John Tester were more important.
If they had voted for lower spending or voted for a delay in Obamacare, that would have been had a tremendous positive impact.
Balliet says his group's problem with the vote to reopen the government has to do with federal spending. He says the legislation passed this week has spending levels above those set in the federal sequester. Budget discussions resume near the beginning of the year.
We have reason to hope that Congressman Daines in January, his vote is going to abide by the sequestration level of spending.
Balliet says his group will be withholding judgment on the state's delegation on this issue until those votes. Meanwhile, he says his group has dropped off 500 signed petitions today at each of the delegates' offices.
And to support real cuts in federal spending, to work towards a balanced budget without raising taxes.
And Americans for Prosperity, along with Tea Party groups and Congressman Daines, say the fight to end Obamacare is not over. I'm Dan Boyce reporting at the Capitol.
Montana's Chippewa Cree tribe has furloughed or laid off roughly 300 non-essential workers in anticipation that it could take 1 to 2 weeks for federal funding to resume following the end of the government shutdown. Tribal Representative Wade Cauliflower said today that a skeleton crew of unpaid workers will continue to provide basic services. Law enforcement and health workers were exempt from the furloughs. Cauliflower says transit service on the 122,000-acre Rocky Boys Reservation is operating at 20%, some tribal courts are not working, and the enrollment office is closed down. Like other tribes in Montana and elsewhere across the U.S., many programs on the 5,000-person reservation are subsidized by federal agencies. Others are paid for with tribal money that was delayed by the 16-day shutdown.
Federal officials say they lost a prime opportunity to rehabilitate and reseed areas burned over the summer by wildfires because of the partial government shutdown. Workers for the U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management returned to work yesterday after a 16-day layoff. The Times News of Idaho reports fire officials are now racing quickly against the clock and cooler weather to finish projects delayed by the work stoppage. BLM Fire Management Officer Chris Simonson says crews missed 3 critical weeks of prime time in the field that could have been used to reseed scorched acres and repair damaged fences on public land. Crews are being immediately dispatched to soil stabilization projects in areas burned by the Beaver Creek Fire near Haley and Ketchum, Idaho.
And in other news from around the state, a head-on collision south of Kalispell killed 2 Kalispell men and injured a third. The Montana Highway Patrol says a Jeep Cherokee driven by a 46-year-old Kalispell man was northbound on U.S. Highway 93 last night when the Jeep crossed into a southbound lane. The Jeep was traveling northbound on inside southbound lane when it struck a pickup around 8:45 p.m. The patrol says the driver of the pickup died on impact. The passenger in the Jeep, a 43-year-old Kalispell man, died at Kalispell Regional Medical Center. The driver of the Jeep was hospitalized in Kalispell with unknown injuries. The names of the victims have not been released.
A Montana Tech student has been sentenced to 20 years with the Department of Corrections, with 16 suspended for a May 2012 crash that killed his roommate and left 2 other passengers with permanent injuries. District Judge Lauren Tucker recommended that 22-year-old Miles Kittleson of Glasgow begin his sentence at the State Addiction Treatment Center in Warm Springs, followed by time at a pre-release center. Kittleson pleaded guilty to vehicular homicide while under the influence for the May 3, 2012 crash. The car hit a rock wall near Divide and rolled several times, killing 21-year-old Spencer Lewis of Cutbank. The Montana Standard reports the father of passenger Andrea Spiker of Kalispell testified she had to learn to walk and talk again after suffering serious head injuries. Passenger Calvin Goza is a paraplegic.
The Office of Commissioner of Political Practices is dinging Governor Steve Bullock for a bookkeeping error that led to excess campaign donations. A Helena attorney who was appointed deputy for the cases says that Bullock's 2012 campaign took 3 contributions from 3 political action committees that exceeded the legal limits. Jay Dufresneau says the mistake is understandable given the volume of donations that go to a campaign for governor, and he found no evidence of willful attempt to receive excess contributions. He said technical compliance is required of all campaigns and is particularly important for high-profile statewide campaigns. The governor's former campaign manager says the minor errors came amid 4 years of fundraising and 10,000 contributions. A penalty will be assessed or negotiated later.
Canadian mining giant Teck Resources has announced the company will spend $18.5 million, or $19 million Canadian, to buy nearly 28 square miles of land in southeast British Columbia for conservation. The company says it purchased the land in the Elk and Flathead River Valleys from Tembec Incorporated to preserve wildlife and fish habitat. The purchase is being welcomed by conservation groups that have long advocated for a national park in the area of British Columbia directly adjacent to Waterton Glacier Park in Alberta and Glacier National Park in Montana. The group Flathead Wild says the Teck purchase west of Sparwood, British Columbia, includes critical habitat for trout, bears, birds, and lynx. The provincial government banned mining and drilling in the Flathead River Basin 2 years ago over concerns for Glacier Park.
More than 24 million people, including 9.5 million in California alone, signed up to duck under their desks at 10:17 local time yesterday, cover their heads, and hold onto something sturdy. The exercise, dubbed the Great Shakeout, allowed first responders to dust off their emergency response plans and also served as training for civilians. Montana was originally going to join in yesterday's exercise, but a conflict with a previously scheduled statewide school event prompted officials to reschedule for Wednesday the 23rd. Marty Angeli of Montana Department of Emergency Services concedes that the California is far more prone to major earthquakes than the Rockies.
We do live right there, you know, among the Great Divide, and there are numerous fault lines which run through central and western part of the state, the eastern part of the state not being as big a concentration, but we still, of course, want to make them aware of this. We have a history here, especially in the central part of the state, central and western part of the state, of having minor tremors and quake throughout the time.
State emergency officials want Montanans to be prepared to, quote, stop, drop, and hold on, end quote, should a major, quote, occur.
It's the 3 things that that you can do if you're in an office space or in a school environment to at least take immediate action, if you will, in the event of an earthquake. And the one thing is to stop and think about what you're doing, obviously. And the other is to drop to some safe point, probably under your desk or maybe under some structured type building and or inside the building, and hold on to something firm and something solid as the earth moves and shakes along.
Nearly 90,000 people have signed up to participate in Wednesday's Rocky Mountain Shakeout in Montana.
You can participate first by going to the website and actually kind of registering there at the website, which is an important thing to do. And then on the 23rd at 10:23, that's when it occurs. It really can be a five-minute drill. Honestly, you can set it up within your own organization. There are some additional tools at the Great Rocky Mountain Shakeout website that may assist in that. There's some pre-recorded messages that you can play over a PA system. There's like some warnings and things like that that you can throw out before you actually run the drill. So.
Officials add it's always a good idea to be prepared for any major emergency that could disrupt energy and food distribution.
And I hate to throw the term situational awareness, but really that's what it comes down to. It's community awareness and situational awareness of possible things that can affect if you're in a low-lying area for floods, if you're in an area where I grew up, like in Oklahoma, for tornadoes, being aware of things like that, and out here for earthquakes and fires.
Angeli recommends people keep an emergency supply of food and water that would last a minimum of 72 hours. To find out more about Wednesday's earthquake drill in Montana, Google the Great Rocky Mountain Shakeout.
A 34-year-old Polson woman has denied charges that she stabbed her mother during an argument last month. Kerr AM reports Emily Yellow Owl pleaded not guilty in district court yesterday to aggravated assault and assault with a weapon. Her mother, Carol Mitchell, was stabbed in the back several times early on September 1st. Court records say Yellow Owl told Polson police she stabbed her mother because her mother did not do enough to protect her from an assault the night before. Lake County prosecutors say the assault didn't occur and that Yellow Owl had not been taking medication needed to treat mental illness. Court records say Yellow Owl pleaded guilty to stabbing two other people with a kitchen knife in 2004. She was committed to the Montana State Hospital and released to her mother in 2008.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden says the hiring scandal at the Bonneville Power Administration shouldn't become an excuse for the federal government to interfere with energy policy decisions in the Pacific Northwest. The Democrat who chairs the Senate Energy Committee said at a news conference today that agencies' discrimination against veterans looking for work is indefensible and must be corrected. A report from the U.S. Department of Energy's Inspector General released last week blasted BPA for manipulating the rating process for applicants and retaliating against whistleblowers. Wyden said he would block any efforts to interfere in BPA policy, auction off the agency, or meld it into the national power grid. The BPA markets power from 31 federal dams in the Columbia Basin and manages much of the region's power grid.
Emmy Award-winning actor Keith David is in Missoula to advocate for the organization Wood for Haiti, started by Missoula resident Gary Funk and his daughter Angela. David has appeared in films like Platoon, There's Something About Mary, and Crash. Wood for Haiti provides construction material for Haitians to rebuild their country in the wake of the devastating earthquake that struck Haiti 3 years ago. In this feature interview, David talks with news director Sally Mock about how he became involved with Wood for Haiti.
Angela and I studied together with the same teacher and did a concert together, and then we got to be friends. And when she moved back to Montana, asked me if I would mind getting involved in this endeavor. And it happened to coincide with the time that I have been thinking about what, in fact, could I personally do to help the Haitian effort. More than just donating clothes or money, you know, I wanted to be more proactive, and this was a grand opportunity to do so.
Haiti has long since disappeared from the headlines, but it's not out of the mind of people who, like Gary and Angela, have been involved since the catastrophe. It's still a country very much in need of aid.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very interesting situation because, politics always plays a part in any of these things, and unfortunately, sometimes it gets in the way of the progress of getting and receiving help. I don't know why things were so slow in evolving, and I don't know why it continues to be so slow. I am happy that, you know, people like Gary and Angela continue to be vigilant in their cause to want to help. It brings to me in mind of so many things. I mean, you know, one of the things that made me want to be more involved with Haiti is John Donne. You know, no man is an island. Each man is my brother. Each man is my friend. Each man's joy brings joy to me. Each man's grief is their own, is my own. When something devastating happens around the world, there are far too many people who continue to have a them and us mentality. Well, it's too bad, but it didn't happen to me. It doesn't affect us. Well, I think that we now live in a world where that is, I don't think it's ever been true, but especially not true now, because whatever happens over there has a ripple effect over here, one way or another, economically, spiritually. So we want to do something about it. I mean, and if you really care about humanity, your own humanity, as well as your neighbor's reality, humanity, you have to embrace it in a way that, you know, to do what we can. I mean, that's the calling. We, as citizens, as human beings, want to be helpful in whatever way we can.
And, of course, Wood for Haiti is a very tangible project. This is a project to take Montana wood, pine beetle killed wood, and use it to build homes in Haiti, which is something
isn't that a, isn't that a fantastic idea? I mean, because it kills two birds. I mean, and
it's good for Montana.
A wonderful,
as
it's
well
good for
as
Montana.
Haiti.
It's good for Haiti. There's a wonderful reciprocity about it. You know, you can feed a man, but if you teach him how to fish, he can feed himself. And that's part of what the ripple effect of this is. Not only teaching, you know, giving jobs to Americans, giving jobs to Haitians, teaching them how to use this wood and build with this wood and create with this wood. Ultimately, reestablishing the forest there, so that they'll be able to grow their own trees and be able to, you know, keep this process going.
I want to talk now a bit with our remaining time about your own career. Reading about all the things you've done in your career, it's amazing diversity. You've been in about every medium: television, film, theater, video games, voiceovers.
I've been lucky like that.
You're not picky.
I'm choosy, but I'm not picky.
You have done voiceovers to the point where you've won an Emmy for your voiceover work, and I know many people who are fans of Ken Burns would recognize your voice. You've done narration for some of his excellent documentaries, including War.
Yes. I've done probably six Ken Burns projects now, and he's one of my favorite directors to work with. I love what Ken goes after in his subject matter, and I love the way he does it. I mean, he's probably the most prolific documentarian in the country, if not around the world. And I just love, I mean, I have certainly come to love his particular degree of meticulousness. I mean, I love it. It's amazing to work with a director who knows exactly what they want. Ken knows exactly what he wants. And
great scripts, too,
and great
for those
script.
Documentaries,
yeah,
aren't
yeah.
they? Yeah, I mean, great stories.
Wonderful things to say. I mean, you know, very rarely, if ever, do I have to say, well, can this be put any better? And very often, I mean, yesterday, for example, I did a script, and I kept having to say, well, is this what you mean? Because this is a kind of convoluted sentence. I mean, I'm going to try to make this work, but it's awfully, it's too complex. You can simplify the way you want to say this. Or I'll say it the way you want, the way you've written it, but it's not very clear. I've never had to say that to Ken.
He doesn't need a lot of editing, does he?
Well, so he may need some editing, but it's only to make the point clearer. Also, I mean, he does such great research. Finally, you have to edit because you can't say everything.
Do you have any career dreams, Mr. David, yet that aren't fulfilled? You've done so much.
Oh, I want to direct a movie. I want to produce a movie.
Do you have a theme
in
mind?
I have parts that I want to play. Well, any of several. I mean, you know, I want to play a detective. I mean, I've played a detective, but I want to really, you know, a la Sam Spade. But there's one particular character I have in mind. I won't mention him because I'm trying to get that into works right now. But there's a particular character I have in mind who's fascinating. Just fascinating. You know, great author, great writing. And that's, I mean, you want to be a part of that, you know, because when it's on the page, it's so much easier to act. In fact, when it's on the page, I don't have to act.
We're very pleased that you've come to Montana to do the work you're doing for Wood for Haiti, and it's just been a pleasure to speak with you about that project and also about your own career, and look forward to your future work, whether it's directing a movie or doing all the million other things that you do. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that.
Actor Keith David will appear tomorrow morning at 11:30 at Missoula's Southgate Mall, where a Wood for Haiti prototype home will be on display in front of Penny's. And now for this weekend's forecast. Tonight, expect clear skies, lows in the 20s. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy with highs in the 50s. Sunday, expect partly cloudy skies, highs in the 50s. For central Montana tonight, expect partly cloudy skies and lows 30 to 35 degrees. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy with highs 55 to 60 degrees. And Sunday should be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and highs 40 to 50 degrees. Southwest Montana, tonight expect mostly clear skies and lows 25 to 35 degrees. Tomorrow calls for sunny weather, highs 50 to 60 degrees. And Sunday should be partly cloudy with highs 40 to 50 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Dr. Tom Roberts.
Most health insurance companies in 2013 remained focused on the financial health of their organization. In today's environment, most large employer groups self-insure and pay all their own medical costs and a fee for services to the insurance company. When providing coverage for individuals, insurance companies now avoid people who are likely to use much in the way of medical care. This means trying to insure only people who are likely to remain healthy and who have no history of serious disease. The sad truth is that looking for ways to improve the health of the people they insure is not a priority. Neither is looking for ways to lower medical costs. If care costs more, the insurance companies simply pass these costs on, reserving a share of the total payments for their own operations. Higher medical spending actually means more financial support, since this is often tied to a percent of premium. Our providers also have had little incentive to take the larger view of reducing medical costs. The payment system that we all operate under here in Montana is fee-for-service. While paying for what you use makes sense for most commodities, the upshot of this approach in healthcare is that the more services that are provided, the higher the total income. If profitability is a major driving factor behind the success of our hospitals, our doctors, and other healthcare providers, then providing more care is the result. Not to say that inappropriate and excessive medical care is the goal of anyone, but looking for ways to improve quality and lower costs has not been the focus of either our insurers or our providers. This is about to change. Assuming that the Affordable Care Act and all its components actually start working in the next few months, we are about to enter an entirely different landscape. If, as is planned, we actually start providing health insurance to nearly everyone in Montana, then spending cannot be lowered by refusing to insure people with bad health. They can no longer be denied coverage. When everyone is insured, the cost of insurance is directly related to the total cost of providing care in our communities. If we in Missoula add another cancer treatment center, another obstetrical unit, or create a for-profit hospital, then total spending goes up for everyone, and so do insurance prices. Right now, surgical complications actually increase profitability for hospitals. No one is intentionally causing these complications, but there are a few systems in place which are actually designed to identify, measure, and prevent the problems. Until we actually know the rate and type of complications, we can't understand where and why these are happening, and we can't take steps to change our processes. Chronic medical illness is responsible for about 75% of our medical spending. Management of people with chronic disease is extremely variable. It often lacks continuity, and there is no detailed understanding of how medical care is delivered. Every provider does the best they can, but working harder at an individual level doesn't solve the problems. We're at the very beginning of supporting effective chronic disease management, making sure that people with diabetes and high blood pressure are seeing their doctors as needed, and that their illness is well controlled. Measuring these factors and designing universal approaches to make sure that issues are dealt with before people end up in an expensive hospital bed surely makes sense. Unfortunately, until now, these resources have been put almost entirely into managing the sick endpoints of heart disease and stroke. Our financial model has been driving us in that direction. Taking care of the whole population means understanding what we are doing now and finding ways to improve the quality of the medical care we are providing. Improvement in quality will almost always lead to lowered costs. But at the same time, we also need to recognize that direct medical care explains less than 20% of our health status. And yet, this is where we spend 90% of our healthcare dollars. We are just beginning to think about how our mental health, the environment, education, and economic policies affect our well-being. Meanwhile, our public health departments receive only about 1% of total healthcare dollars. Change is probably inevitable, in large part because our escalating spending and poor health outcomes are not sustainable. Whatever you think of Obamacare, it at least takes us a step further in the direction of improving population health and controlling costs. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Tom Roberts.
Dr. Tom Roberts is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Madeline Beck. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.